afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with Beans. We have a very busy show today. I started the live show out with 50 Cent in the club. I'll show you. Here we go. That's how I started the show. Because that's going to prominently figure in the second half of the show. In the first half of the show, we're going to talk about the terrible accident yesterday where the Dolly, a very large ship, hit the pylon of a very important bridge in Maryland, in Baltimore. And we're going to go over this in somewhat detail. I'm going to play a lot of stuff for you guys so we can get every angle of this as it stands. Let's start here. The first thing that I said when I saw this video was, oh my gosh, the ship hit this bridge, the bridge came tumbling down, and there were no cars driving over this bridge when it happened. Directly before the impact, there were a stream of, 1:30 a.m. traffic. And I was blown away at the miraculous occurrence that there were no cars driving over this thing. It was mind-blowing to me. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I realized later, which we'll get into, that the reason for that was there was a mayday called off the ship. They were able to get the construction crew, six of whom tragically passed away yesterday, which is being completely overshadowed by all the other nonsense, by the way, which kind of breaks my heart. They were able to stop traffic from coming across the bridge, which, I mean, saved countless lives. One of the gentlemen who was injured in this or was impacted by it was able to just walk away. The other one was released from the hospital, I believe, yesterday afternoon. Unbelievable. I mean, imagine that nonsense. Holy moly. So let's just read this article from the Daily Mail. And thanks to Citizen Free Press, because they have got a whole bunch of information up about this. Please, I just beg everyone to use discernment. The problem we have, again, is that no one ever tells the truth. And if they do tell the truth, no one believes them because they've lied so many times. No matter what happens with this thing, nobody's going to believe whatever. Even with documents, it's not going to matter. That's the thing everybody has to understand. We're never going to really, truly know what happened to this. And if we are told the truth, no one's going to believe it. If we're told a lie, no one's going to believe it. No one's going to believe anything. Just resign yourself to that fact today, because no one's going to believe anything. And yes, I know the government lies to us every single day, all the time. That's all they do, is lie to us. So that's what I'm saying. There's no trust in any institution, which then breeds a complete distrust of everything, which is a problem when you're trying to figure out the truth of a situation. All right, doomed cargo ship Dolly was being piloted by a local crew, which at the first instance when this started coming out, everybody was running with the foreign national thing. Oh my gosh, foreign nationals, blah, 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 they hit the button. That's why you wait. And I'm honestly, even 24 hours isn't enough time. Like, I'm covering this to show both sides of the story. But I there's going to be more. So I'm just saying I'm doing this probably a little bit prematurely. Doomed cargo ship being piloted by a local crew who were trained to avoid obstacles in the Baltimore port. As it emerges, a 100,000-ton vessel lost control and propulsion moments before smashing into the bridge. The cargo ship that smashed into the Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore overnight was piloted by a specialized crew trained to avoid obstacles at ports, it has been revealed. The ship, a 948-foot-long dolly operated by Singaporean company Synergy Group, collided with the 1.2-mile bridge shortly after 1:26 a.m. as it left port. Maryland Transportation Secretary Paul Widefield said on Tuesday morning, it appears none of the 22 crew members were injured. As he revealed, it was being steered by the specialist pilots. Pilots move ships in and out of Port of Baltimore, noting that the specialist pilots depart the ships as soon as they're in open water. Officials were quick to rule out the catastrophe as intentional or an act of terrorism, and an early Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency report found the container ship lost propulsion as it was leaving port. The vessel notified the Maryland Department of Transportation that they'd lost control of the vessel and a collision with the bridge was possible. The vessel struck the bridge, causing a complete collapse. Absolutely freaking terrible. Take a moment, put all of the information part of this aside, put all of the conspiracy theory aside, put all of the conspiracy aside, put all of it aside. Please send some well wishes to the families of the people that passed away in this. I can't even imagine your husband, your brother, your son goes to work to repair potholes and never comes home. The ship had undergone 27 inspections since 2015 and it had been found to have two deficiencies. Notably, this include a June 2023 inspection in San Antonio, Chile, where a deficiency was found in the propulsion and auxiliary machinery, with propulsion faults also noted in the early CISA report. The Dolly was also involved in a 2016 incident at the port of Antwerp. A review in November that year in Belgium found another deficiency in its structural conditions. No deficiencies were found when the vessel was last inspected on September 9, 2023 by the Coast Guard in New York. All activity out of the Port of Baltimore, one of the most important trade hubs in North America, has ground to a halt. The ship had departed Seagirt Marine Terminal at around 12:30 a.m. Tuesday before turning southeast towards the bridge around a half hour later. The Dolly was intended to sail underneath the bridge, however, it struck a support beam. Observers said the black smoke was seen emanating from the ship in the moments beforehand, suggesting the crew may have attempted to reverse its engines. Rescue crews are continuing their efforts to save those impacted by the accident, with around seven to have been believed at the bridge at the time. Now, they sent a Mayday call. They issued a Mayday right before the collision, allowing the operators of the bridge to halt traffic and potentially save lives. That was huge, in my opinion. Six people remained missing Tuesday afternoon. James Wallace, chief of the Baltimore City Fire Department, said two workers who had been fixing potholes on the bridge, which is used by 31,000 vehicles per day, were rescued from the frigid water. One avoided injury, and the other was hospitalized with serious injuries. The patient was discharged by Tuesday afternoon. I don't know how serious the injuries could have been if he was discharged the same day, but God bless him for it. God bless him for it. Authorities said several vehicles, one the size of a tractor trailer, were on the bridge. They were construction vehicles. We're thankful that between the Mayday and the collapse, we had officials who were able to begin to stop the flow of traffic so more cars were not up on the bridge. And now we're going to look at the Port of Baltimore. The Port of Baltimore is located in the Mid-Atlantic region of the United States. Of the East Coast ports, Baltimore is closest in proximity to the Midwest region, which allows it to serve the agricultural heartland with necessary imports and access to export markets. The port handles approximately 38 million tons of cargo annually in total and specializes in roll-on, roll-off transportation for farm and construction equipment, as well as the automobile trade. Each year, more than 2,000 cargo vessels and cruise ships call on the Port of Baltimore. In 2017, it ranked 29th in the nation for waterborne agricultural exports, moving more than 213,000 metric tons of agricultural products. Approximately 86% of those cargoes moved in containers. The commodities with the largest volume were meat, representing 18%, and prepared grocery items, representing 17% of their agricultural exports. The top shipping lines had included Hapag Lloyd and Evergreen. The top destination markets were Colombia, Israel, Chile, and Taiwan. Presenting information without comment. Top destination countries are broken down here. All of this will be in the show notes below. It moved nearly 2 million metric tons of agricultural import cargo in 2017. 50% of the cargo moved in containers. The top agricultural import was sugar, representing more than 26% of the agricultural imports in 2017 and 23% of total U.S. waterborne sugar imports for the year. So you guys are going to have a hard time getting your hands on some sugar. Bummer. Sugar, coffee, soybeans, beer, molasses, non-alcoholic beverages. And the other most, in the research that I did, one of the other major things that comes through this ports is imports of foreign automobiles, Mercedes-Benz being number one. It's basically an agricultural port. So let's now go to this breakdown of the events that happened. What's going on with shipping is the channel this is coming from. I just wanted to give you some background into this gentleman. Sal Mercogliano has degrees in military and naval history, maritime history, and nautical archaeology and marine transportation. He is a former merchant mariner and teaches courses in maritime history, security, and industry policy. His breakdown of this is 6 minutes long, and we are going to watch it together. And it's worth the time, because I am then going to play the other side of the coin, which is Lara Logan telling everybody that this was a cyber attack on this boat and that we are basically doomed because we're being attacked by other countries and the ramifications of that. After we watch Lara Logan's interview with Steve Bannon yesterday, I'm going to tell you what my opinion of all of this is. And then you guys can take both sides of the coin, this side and Lara's side, and you can do your research and try and figure out where you fall. But I would urge everybody to have discernment as they go through that process, no matter where you fall on the spectrum. I do. I'm using discernment. I'm going to tell you what my opinion is as of today. Could it change? It always does. Here we go. Let's watch this.
Hey, what's going on with shipping? Sal Mercogliano here this morning. So we've had an incident in the port of Baltimore involving the motor vessel Dolly outbound from Baltimore. I am just beginning to process the information and take a look at it, but I want to clarify something that I've been seeing that needs to be done. This is the video coming from the port of Baltimore. I'm going to go ahead and live stream it or replay it. This is Dolly coming out. Notice the ship just went dark. I'm going to come back here for a second. Go back here a second. Take you back about 10 seconds here. So she would have came off the berth at Dundalk here. And if you play back this video, you'll see that the ship is outbound, turning around the channel, comes off of Dundalk right here, goes out the channel, spins around, and is coming out. Now, let's be clear. This is obviously the exit out. This is where she wants to come out. Go ahead and play it again. Here she is coming out. You'll see lights along her side. You'll see lights right here. That red light in the back is not her, but she goes dark all of a sudden. So now the ship is dark. You are not having any power on this vessel. The ship has basically dropped the plant. So when I initially heard about this happening, there was a lot of questions about, was this mechanical or was this human? This is obviously a mechanical issue in that they lost power. We're not sure why she lost power. So here she is. She is basically coasting at this point, without any control. Now, if she had lost power, does that mean she lost her rudder? Did she lose propulsion? And the vessel was in the channel on the outbound leg. She was coming out, and you see her still kind of moving here very slowly down on the channel. Traffic up on the bridge is moving along, and the ship is just progressing slowly down the channel. So ship's still moving at this time, and then we see the power come back on. So you see the lights come back on. So she is able to get power back on at this moment. Oops, sorry, it's buffering here. So you got power now coming back on. She, once again, should have propulsion. She should be making way. Now, when you lose power on a ship, it is the worst feeling in the world. Everything goes quiet, goes dark. Now you start seeing black smoke coming out of the port funnel. So she is belching black smoke at this time. You can see it coming out right here. So this indicates, obviously, an engine problem. Now, what are they doing at this point? They may be backing down at this moment, trying to stop their forward progress. Now, the problem with backing down on a ship is that it is single prop. And what's going to happen is when you try to back down, the ship is going to start careening. It's going to start kind of pitching around. And what happens here, based on the track line that I saw in marine traffic, is the ship starts to go across the channel. She was basically in the middle of the channel coming out, right down in the middle, and now she's careening toward the right side. Notice more black smoke coming out. I saw a helicopter image this morning that showed that the port side anchor had been dropped. So what you would want to do is try to arrest the forward movement of the vessel. The problem with this whole scenario is this. If you start backing down on the ship, it's going to start twisting. If you just kept the ship going, stopped the propeller, and used the rudder, you would have some control. But now the vessel is starting to veer out of the channel. And this is what we see. The ship starts crossing from the north side of the channel to the south side of the channel, and then eventually out of the channel entirely. And at the speed she's going, she is not able to stop her forward progress. So, see the black smoke still coming out of the ship at this time. The ship now is coming out of the channel entirely. She would not have tugs on her. She would have had tugs to take her off the berth at Dundalk, but not once she was underway and had propulsion. This ship, Singapore flag, Singapore registered company. Dolly is one of these ships that basically is leased by the larger operating companies. So we're not exactly sure whose route she was on, what company she was servicing. She was out of Baltimore heading to Colombo. So she was heading down to the Panama Canal, and she was going to be heading across the Pacific. At this point, she is heading right for the pylons. And understand, once you take out a pylon on a bridge, that's it. These bridges are designed to rest on top of that pylon. She's going to sideswipe it. This is going to be the worst kind of bridge disaster in the United States since Tampa back in the 1980s. And even if you drop the anchors, which we know she drops the port anchor, according looking at the image from helicopters, the port anchor was not just dropped, but it was angling aft, meaning that it dragged. But at any sort of speed, it's not going to stop the vessel. She would have dropped, I'm not sure if she dropped the starboard anchor. That's her hitting right there. You can see the big splash as she hits the piling right there. There are barriers around the pilings, but not enough. And that will cause the collapse and just the horror of this event taking place here. And that is the tragedy right there. So, that is my quick assessment based on the video right there. Obviously, a loss of power resulted in the ship losing control and hitting the bridge. Not a lot you can do. The ship would have been under the command of the ship's master. There would have been a Chesapeake Bay pilot on board to advise the master. Remember, the issue we had with Everforward when it came out of Baltimore, and it was further down the track than this, we had the pilot being distracted. I don't think that's a case here at all. This obviously appears to be a mechanical issue. The fact that the ship lost power at least once, if not twice, it was kind of hard to see, but it may have lost power twice there, would have been the cause for the ship to careen into the bridge.
Okay, he also did another video, just so that you know, that's pinned in the comments here, where he puts the maritime map and the video next to it and shows exactly what happened as the ship came off port. It's very informative. So I'm going to save my opinion for the end. Now we've got this, and I want you to listen carefully because this came out yesterday in the afternoon, and there is some, you know, in the beginning, Steve Bannon's like, I don't understand why they wouldn't have dropped anchor. Well, they did. He just didn't know that. And that's fine, but that's why you kind of wait before you go interviewing people about things, because we get more information as time goes on. Let's watch this video.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon. Okay, welcome back. Dave Walsh is going to hang with me. We got a timing issue with Laura Logan. She joins us right now. Laura, you've been on fire. I saw the Gateway Pundit piece that talked about
what you're coming out with. We've had a Posobiec. Look, as a naval officer, I can tell you, something is not right about this situation. I don't. They got pilots, the most professional guys around. I don't know how they steered it at 8 knots right into the foundational element of the bridge. They could have dropped anchor. They should have had backup systems. You say there may be something. Here's the other thing that's concerned me. Why they run to the mic head? McCabe on this morning on at sunrise on CNN saying it's not terrorism. It's not terrorism. It's not. It might not be terrorism. But why do you come to the mic right away? These are the type. We need facts. We need empirical evidence. We need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you?
Well, okay. We do need an investigation. The problem, like I said in the beginning, is once we do the investigation, no one's going to believe what it says anyway. Like, no one's going to believe it. So no matter what the investigation says, no one's going to believe it. Why? Because no one ever tells us the truth about anything. So we don't believe anything. That's a problem. That's the problem. And it's not our problem. It's their problem. Shoot. Here we go.
Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words, right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other. This is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard, is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done is you now have shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas. This is diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals. Everything that you need for your economy to move has literally just been shut down for 4 to 5 years. And how did they do it? They knew that they had to target one of two main anchor points on that bridge. There are two load-bearing pylons that any structural engineer can identify that are on the end of each side of the bridge. These are the ones that are thicker and stronger than anything else on that bridge. And when you hit one of those pylons, when you take that out, the reason you see so much of that bridge collapse instantly is you just brought 50% of the span of that bridge coming crumbling down. And what you don't see beneath the surface of the water, Steve, is absolutely catastrophic. It is a structural nightmare and a logistical nightmare, because you have the entire bottom part, the concrete part of that bridge, and you don't know the extent of the structural damage to that. And you won't know it until you pull all of that infrastructure out of there and you get to look at it. And so you're talking 3 to 5 years at best. And what you're talking about here is probably building a new bridge. So what you have effectively done now, you've shut down the I-95 corridor that's above ground. So now you're going to have to go north to New York. You're going to have to go south to North Carolina. And your trucks, your hazardous materials are going to have to go around Baltimore now. They're not going to be able to go through it. And what else did you do? You shut down the sea corridor, the shipping corridor, because now the port is shut down, right? And so all those tankers that are out at sea that have hazardous materials on them, those are going to have to all be rerouted. And why can you not move hazardous materials through the tunnel? Why is this such a big deal? Because they created that bridge because hazardous materials, for example, oversized loads, they don't fit in the tunnel system. Yep. And there's other loads that are so dangerous that they require a permit. It takes time to get a permit. It costs money to get a permit. It requires an escort, right? You've seen it on the highways sometimes. You've seen when you have these massive oversized loads and they've got escorts all around them, these huge convoys. Well, what do you do on one of the busiest corridors in the United States? You don't shut it down in the day so this can happen. That means you can only move this stuff at night, which automatically impacts the amount of traffic that you can use. The tunnel is going to be overloaded. This is what you call death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolutely catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen. Just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machine that you cannot see.
Okay, I want to go. You just had this big thing with the FBI talking about what the Chinese Communist Party's cyber hacking unit that they've been monitoring for 10 years, and now they're saying it's out of control. Are your sources telling you that they feel that there's enough information out there that it is a cyber attack, and is it a state actor or non-state actors?
100%, yes. And they are saying that this is a cyber attack. You didn't have a terrorist group board the ship and commandeer it and take it over. You had somebody hack into the systems on board the ship, the GPS system, and reroute that ship. They did it in the middle of the night because they didn't want the crew to be awake. They didn't want everybody to be on full high alert.
Okay. She just said nothing about shutting the ship off, turning it off, cutting the power. She said that they rerouted the GPS of the ship. And I have a real hard time with that because that doesn't seem to be what happened at all, actually. The ship was perfectly traveling on its route. The route is detailed in the other video I told you about and what it was supposed to be doing. So that, I have a major issue with that part of the story. Like, okay. So that's my personal part of it. There's more. I'm going to play more for everybody, but that's the first thing that I think, but that didn't happen. It's, we went through the, so it doesn't jive for me. Those two bits of information don't jive for me personally.
Wanted everybody to be asleep and you trying to wake people up and rouse people, because when I spoke to one individual who has, let's just say he worked in Baltimore for many, many years and was there when that bridge was opened. He knew when he looked at the security camera video of the harbor, the long version, the 7 minutes, he knew from the start of that video when he looked at that ship that it was not in the channel. You need to be in the channel to make that turn, to have any chance of making that turn.
Okay, hold on. Now I gotta play it. Bear with me.
Hey, what's going on with shipping? So a quick update. I'm gonna pause it right here.
Here we go.
And we're gonna go ahead and reset here. Dolly is coming down her track just as you expect. The two tugs leave her, not unusual. We see that happen all the time. She is in the channel. Now, this channel can be used for two ships at a time, but they usually like to just do one. And so you see one ship. She is a little bit on the left side of the lane, just a little bit off center, but that is fine. She's doing about six, speeding up here to about 7-8 knots. Going to go ahead and readjust. So here is the key bridge right here. And this is where I want to kind of get this coincided with what's going on. All right, on the left is marine traffic. On the right is the live feed that we have from the Port of Baltimore. Okay, I tried to sync this up the best I could. The videos are not running at exactly the same moment. But this is the moment that we see Dolly lose power. She goes dark in the video up here. She is out without power at this time. You see the vessel is progressing right here at about 8.5 knots, and she's heading for the key bridge at this moment. And again, one of the things that we're not sure about here is what is causing the power outage on the vessel. Is it mechanical? Is it computer? Is it fuel? We just don't know. But the ship goes completely dark. And let me be clear, the worst feeling ever on a ship is to lose power. Everything gets quiet. Silence is the enemy on a ship. That means everything has gone wrong. So here we see the vessel coming out. It had just come from the Secret terminal, which you can see right behind it. Secret, she was actually up on this berth right over here where the cranes are, just underneath the center part of the bridge. And she's coming down. So she's still progressing down. She's doing about 8.5 knots at this point. And she is coming down the channel. Now, I got this playing at basically real time. We're going to go ahead and speed it up here in a minute. But I want to get to the point where she will get her power back on. And as she progresses, we'll see the lights come back on with the vessel. Now, at this moment, there's a big question about whether or not the ship has rudder control. This is the key thing. If the ship does not have rudder control, then the ship is careening out of control. There's nothing you can do. The ship would have an anchor ready to drop. You would have a crew up on the bow. But the question is that crew still there? Are they standing by? They should be in place until they get out past the bridge and the channel. There is a Maryland Bay pilot on board advising the ship's master. Right at this moment, hopefully, they're calling out issues on channel 16 and the other hailing channels that they'll be using to tell them to be aware. They will have portable radio, so they don't need the ship's radio. Here you see the power come back on the vessel. So now Dolly has power back on. She is starting to drift. If you look at marine traffic here, she is starting to drift toward the south side of the channel at this point. So she is beginning her movement. Remember, this is a vessel that is about 100,000 tons, so a substantial size vessel. It will have a lot of momentum on her, and if they had lost power, then the rudder would not be answering. So wherever that rudder was, even if the rudder was dead center, it's not providing any maneuverability because you have torque from the propeller. The propeller is going to want to twist the ship. Now we're seeing smoke belching out of the ship. Here's the smoke coming out.
So I just wanted to play this part because this boat is in channel. It is in channel until the drift. So it was in channel the entire time until the drift. Back to the Lara Logan interview.
Now you're traveling. That is a river that flows pretty quickly, Steve, even under normal circumstances, right? And at a certain point, you're committed. That ship is heavy. The load is heavy. The water flowing at a certain speed, you've got very little room to maneuver. So at a certain point, there was absolutely nothing that they could do to stop that ship from the course that it was on because they were not in control of it. And they had all of these other factors coming into play. So when terrorism and counterterrorism experts look at this, when people who know critical infrastructure, there's a number of different people that I've spoken to, cyber people, when they look at it, they know exactly what they're looking at. And so it's extraordinary that anybody could come out now when they haven't had time to do an investigation, I know for a fact that they're getting people inside their agencies that are telling them what they're telling me, and they're making public statements that completely contradict what anybody who knows this terrain, who knows it, and I don't just mean the physical terrain, I mean the cyber terrain and the terrorism terrain and the critical infrastructure terrain and all of that. I mean, I've talked to people whose job after 9/11 was to identify, if you were Al-Qaeda and you wanted to capitalize on that attack, how would you do it? They were the people that came up with the term death by 1,000 cuts.
Okay, so I will link this below for you if you want to watch the rest of it. And now I'll share what my thought is on it. I think it was an accident. As of right now, I think it was a tragic, terrible accident. I do not believe, in my opinion, that it was hacked and people took over the GPS system. If she would have said maybe it was hacked and they shut the engines off, maybe then. But that's not what the story is. It was, they hacked the GPS and they moved the boat off course. That did not happen, in my opinion. From what I've seen and the research I've done, that's not what happened. I think it was a terrible accident because those still do occur. And from what I'm gathering about this situation, that's what it looks like here. Now, in a week, we may get a report about what happened to this boat to make it lose power like that. Come back on. We have an idea what the billow was. I keep calling it a boat and people criticize me. Ship. But this is just my opinion. I'm going to wait, take some more information in from everywhere. No, I don't think there was a controlled demolition on the bridge. People are actually spreading videos of electrical. No. So I think that this was a tragic accident. And yes, those still do occur. There still are very tragic accidents that occur every day. And I think that's what this was. The explosions at the top of the bridge, there's electric on the bridge. They weren't even large explosions. If you didn't even see a massive explosion when the boat hit the bridge, okay? That's just the electric from the bridge. There's lights on the bridge. There's wires on the bridge. Like, that's not pre-set up charges on the bridge that went off at So I'm just, that's my opinion as of today. It was a very tragic accident, and we'll see what more information comes out from wherever it comes out from. I don't know why General Flynn called it a Black Swan event. I'm not General Flynn. I don't agree with him. See how that works? I don't agree. That's all. Very easy. I don't agree. I don't jump to declarations. I don't jump to definitive statements about things. We're about 24 hours into this right now. As it stands right now, this was a tragic accident, in my opinion. So everybody can say whatever they want. Everyone can share the information they want to share. But I just urge everybody to use their discernment about what they believe and what they run with as this unfolds. So now we're moving on. We're moving on.
Need to go, that bought me all my fancy things, my crib, my cars, my clothes, my shoes.
Why, Pete? Why 50 Cent? Well, as everybody knows, the other day, Diddy broke his silence. There was a raid on several different properties. In another piece of misinformation that came out, people were reporting that he flew out of country. And he didn't. He was actually in Miami. So, you know, this happens all the time. People run and jump to things and they think they're right, but they're actually not. And then we get conspiracy and craziness. Aaron Dyer, an attorney for the rapper, broke home silence just 24 hours after the Homeland Security investigation. So over the past several months specifically, there have been a load of people coming forward saying that rapper P. Diddy allegedly drugged them with narcotics, and there were rape allegations, sexual assault allegations, all the things that we know happen in the music industry and the Hollywood in general. There have been clips of Justin Bieber saying things about Diddy and things like that. There have been a load of reports. I'm not even going to get into all the details of them. We're just going to do some surface level stuff today. Sean Diddy Combs says he's the victim of a witch hunt and bemoans military level force used against him as he finally spoke out following the Monday double raid on his estate. Aaron Dyer, an attorney for the rapper, broke Combs' silence just after 24 hours. Yesterday, there was a gross overuse of military level force as, well, welcome to the party, Diddy. Welcome to the party. There's no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Welcome to the party. Mr. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculation, neither Mr. Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way. He was seen speaking to a customs agent in an airport 15 minutes from his Miami Beach home Monday evening, but was never arrested. This unprecedented ambush paired with an advanced coordinated media presence leads to a premature rush to judgment of Mr. Combs and is nothing more than a witch hunt based on meritless accusations made in civil lawsuits. There has been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations. He's innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name. The rapper, 54, has not been seen since Homeland Security agents descended on his properties. He was planning to fly to the Bahamas to spend time with his 17-year-old twins when the agents swooped in. They gathered evidence, including a number of electronic devices. No criminal charges have been filed, and Diddy has denied all allegations of sexual misconduct. Okay. Jesse Waters had some on this. Wonder what his take is. Now, my opinion of this as it stands today, my opinion as it stands right now today, is that if anything, they're going to use Diddy as the fall guy like they did with Epstein. And they're going to make a big hubbub. Look what we're doing. We're getting rid of the child trafficking in the music industry.
It's raided the LA and Miami homes of billionaire hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs. Homeland Security conducted the armed raid in an alleged sex trafficking operation. TMZ later capturing Diddy pacing around a private Miami airstrip. Diddy wasn't arrested, but his phones were seized. And there's speculation tonight that he's fled the country. We can't confirm it. Just breaking tonight, though, Diddy's attorneys putting out a statement saying, quote, there is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities. This unprecedented ambush, paired with advanced coordinated media presence, leads to a premature rush to judgment of Mr. Combs and is nothing more than a witch hunt. We believe the raid was triggered by a litany of lawsuits, including from his own ex, alleging abuse, rape, and sex trafficking. Diddy settled that one, but then, 2 months ago, his former producer, Rodney Lil Rod Jones, filed an explosive lawsuit containing disturbingly graphic and disgusting details that not only implicate Diddy, but aim straight at the heart of the music industry. An elaborate racketeering, blackmail, and sex trafficking scheme that his lawyers compare to Jeffrey Epstein's. Now, for over a year, Lil Rod had unfettered access to Diddy's world, his homes, his planes, and his parties, where he claims he witnessed mountains of narcotics, illegal firearms, laced drinks, sex workers, and underage boys and girls. The producer claims he was groped by Diddy, groomed, and forced into humiliating sexual performances. Diddy's chief of staff, Christina Corum, is said to have been the Ghislaine Maxwell to Sean Combs.
See what I mean?
Allegedly ordering her assistants to keep Mr. Combs high off gummies, pills, cocaine, and ecstasy, and maintaining a steady stream of sex workers for her boss. Now, some of the women brought into Diddy's orbit were under the age of 16. That's according to the complaint. The lawsuit claims he required the sex workers and underage girls to sign NDAs prior to entering his parties and prior to being drugged and sex trafficked at these parties. Diddy allegedly forced all of the women to drink laced De Leon liquor, as well as laced Chirac vodka and champagne. His former bodyguard, Gene Deal, said this.
Guys don't put those pills that they get to the girls in the champagne bottles because they popping them in front of them. It's in the orange juice and it's in the cranberry juice. They didn't put the pills and the stuff in there, the roofies. Those girls who like the mixed drinks, they gonna pour their own sexual act because they don't understand it ain't in the bottles, it's in the juice. Those guys, they learn that and they put it to those girls who don't know no better.
Now, Diddy called these his freak out.
So, there's more, but you get the picture. This is not a lie. I've seen this happen. I've seen it. This happens all the time. And I believe it 100% because it happens all the time. Prince Harry is actually named in that suit. Among the specific acts were Combs' use of vast sums of cash, drugs, fake promises of career opportunities, and access to music industry executives in circumstances that should have prompted defendants Lucian Charles Grange, Ethiopia, Motown Records, Love Records, and Universal Music Group employees to specifically raise questions about Combs' sex trafficking. Affiliation with and sponsorship of Mr. Combs' sex trafficking parties garnered legitimacy and access to celebrities such as famous athletes, political figures, artists, musicians, and international dignitaries like British Royal Prince Harry. Now, we have more. $50 Cent Liz Crokin's got this. Flashback, 50 Cent says Jay-Z wants to look like a gay painter. Now, Jay-Z is inextricably tied. 50 Cent tweeted out a picture of a milk carton with Jay-Z's picture on it. So they're starting to kind of weave in the others who may be involved in this as per 50 Cent. I mean, I don't know.
You image yourself after a gay painter. Okay. Big homie want to look like a gay painter.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about Basquiat. He wants to look like a gay painter.
Oh my God, I think I know where we're going with
so
this.
So now look, when you image yourself after a gay painter. Okay. Big homie want to look like a gay painter.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about Basquiat. He wants to look like a gay painter.
Oh my God, I think I know where we're going with
so
this.
So now look, when.
Okay. And then. Here he is. This is a compilation of interviews where 50 Cent has been trying to tell everyone about Diddy and what he does. Now, remember, I have not watched the full Cat Williams interview yet, but that happened a couple months back as well. So people should go and watch that. All of you entertainment folks, if you have children near or around you, if you are watching this at work with speakers and not headphones, if there's anybody around you who is offended by inappropriate language, this is your note to either pause the video and play it again when you can, pause the podcast, play it again when you can, or put some headphones in. I will give everyone a second to do that because this is going to be vulgar with the language, and I don't want to subject anyone who may not want to hear that to it. There was your warning. Off we go.
The nigga Puff was like, yeah, like first he was amping him to get stout. Then he was like, yo, so yo, when we gonna get the chance to, you know, to kick it, like we could just hang out, nigga, we gotta
hold
kick
that.
It.
This is
Puff.
Okay.
He telling me we gotta kick it and shit. And he was like, yo, why don't we like go shopping or some shit? I mean, like I pay for it. And I was like, what the fuck this nigga just say? I got the fuck away from him because I was like, this nigga just tell me he take me shopping. And this is shit that goes on. But this is a little fruit. Puppy's a fruit pile. It's a fruit pile. Trust me. You see these little weird ass pictures and shit like that out there. I'm sitting out there for no reason. You don't see accident pictures of me like kissing it. Like that doesn't happen by accident. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Look. Later you're gonna find out a little shit that I'll be saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Dude. Man, listen, I'm trying to tell you the truth. But the truth, sometimes it hurts.
Right.
It hurts people and they don't want to hear that shit. But I'm trying to tell you, nigga asked me, could he take me shopping? And it fucked me up because I'm looking like, what the fuck did this nigga just say? I want to take you shopping. I got a bankroll out this motherfucker. I want to take you shopping. Why? Because when you walk around looking so motherfucking good, I'm going to feel like, God damn it, that motherfucker with me. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. But when a nigga tell me he want to take me shopping, what the fuck is the matter with this nigga?
Wait, hold on. Well, where was this at?
This was at the wedding.
I'm beefing with Steve Stout. And Puff is telling you he's going to take you shopping.
After the shoes over. Sitting there at the wedding, like, I'm like this, look, because you know they both, they hit.
Right.
Both Stout and Puff.
Okay, yes, they hit.
They fucked the Veronica, the girl that Chris was married.
Whoa, this is awkward. We did not know that.
So I'm sitting there like, what the kind of shit we got going on?
Oh, man.
Like, goddamn. I'm like, you must have my own little.
My fuck is our angel on our chest.
So basically what he just said, for those of you who might not have been able to understand it, was they were at a wedding for a chick that both of them had sex with. Not him. And who else got in on the action here from years ago? None other but...
kidnap my daughter in public. And I didn't have the address of my child. None of these niggas that want to say something
Travis
now.
Travis gave you the address, though?
Travis gave me the address. Right. But as far as Meek Mills, no. Puff Daddy, whoever, none of these niggas. All you fake hard niggas, fuck you.
Wait,
hold on. Okay. All you fake hard niggas, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck who, because you can't shoot nobody anyway. And the reason why you got talks is because you did a deal, you fucking fed. You know what I'm saying? That's why you gotta come at me, because part of the deal for you to be a do all that rah, 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 and get out of jail is that you promise that you're gonna go pull my co-car. So y'all niggas shut the fuck up about me. Now let me say it calm. You niggas shut the fuck up about, you shut the fuck up about Michael.
Right.
Kid.
There's no joke. Listen. Didn't Jay-Z rap with Marina Abramovich too? There's a lot of crazy going on here, guys. A lot of crazy. And you're also going to see the cover-up and the nonsense on this too, which I think this might be a whole big cover-up because too many people are getting the balls to speak out about what's happened to them, and they have to axe it where they can. So they pick Diddy because he's the target of all the stuff. Maybe he broke a deal somewhere. Maybe the feds are, you know, like he said, there's all kinds of crazy crap going on that none of us know and probably will never know. But they have to stop the bleeding, and they got to stop it fast, because if they don't stop the bleeding, then the rest of the story comes out, you see? And, you know, If you were alive and following hip hop and stuff back in the 90s, like I was, the West Coast, the East Coast, the fights back and forth. It's a lot. So I wonder if we'll ever find out what happened to Tupac. We've got about 6 minutes left. Keeping our eye on the Diddy story. I don't know what's going to happen here. Probably nothing till they need to pull it out and distract everybody again, because I really feel like this is a big cover-up, honestly. I really do. Wow. Hello to the 3.1 thousand people watching on X. I love you guys. I can't see a chat on X. Otherwise, I'd be interacting with you guys there too. Thank you for tuning in. Let's look and see real quick what New York is doing. Let's see what New York is doing to support the citizens of New York. Okay?
To learn that the first 10 debit cards will be handed out here at the Roosevelt to newly arrived families. And once this ramps up by next week or so, there'll be about 115, that's 115 of these cards in circulation, serving about 460 migrants. That includes a lot of young children. We did obtain some images of what these cards will look like. You can see them on your screen there. They'll be loaded weekly with about $350 for a family of four with two young children under the age of five. The city says, in working with the New Jersey-based vendor called Mokify, the cards will only be able to be used at bodegas and grocery stores, and only will be able to use to buy food and baby supplies.
Yeah. I'll never forget. I'm going to tell you a story. Oh, $1,400 a month for food. $350 a week for food. Okay. I lived in New York. I lived in Huntington. Huntington Station, to be exact. And it was a very heavy migrant community there. That's where MS-13 had their big headquarters. People were getting beheaded in parks. It was insane. And this was back in 2014, 2015. I was working two jobs at the time. My husband was working two jobs at the time. We were not able to survive in New York. It was absolutely terrible. We had a Hispanic grocery store on the corner down the road where I would go and get stuff at Sofrito and things like that. And I went in there to do some shopping to try and get my kids the Chucky Larms and the ramen noodles and the mac and cheese in a box that we could afford with some veggies to feed our kids while both of us are working. We have four jobs, four incomes in my family, okay? I had a 1,200 square foot home that I was paying almost $3,500 a month to mortgage. Just saying. Okay. I went to go shopping. I went in. I was behind a woman. Nails done. Jewelry on. Dressed all nice. Meanwhile, I got holes in my sweatpants. She had every imaginable thing in her cart. And I was looking at her like, wow, that's awesome. Like, one day I will be able to feed my kids this way. Meat, snacks, candy, all kinds of shit. Decked out to the nines. Pulls out an EBT card and pays for her groceries. Walks into the parking lot and gets into a Lexus. It was that day that I said, we're leaving. I'm not doing this anymore. Okay? It was that day, that night, after getting home from my first job, I had a couple hours break between the two where I could feed my kids. Going up to pay for my groceries with the scraps in my checking account and seeing that I left. And that was in late 2014, early 2015. And that's how we'll end the show today. New York is unbelievable with the entitlements. And this to New York families, and I know because I lived my entire life there, to New York families struggling to survive paying their taxes, which are my taxes when I left, gosh, on my property were like $15,000 or $16,000 a year. A year. New York families, God bless you. I feel for you. I do. You got to get the hell out of there. There's no fixing this shit. There's no fixing it. I really don't believe you can fix it. I truly don't. Save your families. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on all the podcasting platforms, or you can join our family and watch live in the morning at 8:30. Frank will be back on Friday. Just some notes. Next week, I have off, so there will be no shows next week. I apologize in advance. We will be back the week after. I have a very busy schedule coming up here in the next couple months, and this is the last opportunity I have for probably a year to take any time off, so I'm taking that off. I'm going to be at the Flynn documentary premiere on Friday and of next week because I'm in that documentary. At least I think I am. And so I'm going down to Venice to watch that. If you'll be there, I will see you there. Otherwise, see you on Friday, guys. Talk to you soon.